Welcome to Business Beat. Here each week, KBIA takes a look at the business and economic issues facing Mid-Missouri. I'm Christopher Husted. $47 million Americans are enrolled in the SNAP program, or food stamps, including nearly 16% of Missourians. SNAP is the biggest spending item in the Farm Bill, and the program has a big bullseye on it as Congress debates new legislation. As Grant Gerlach reports for Harvest Public Media, the economic considerations go beyond who receives SNAP benefits to how and where the money is spent.
Walking through the farmer's market with April Segura, it's obvious she's a regular.
Hola, ¿cómo estás? How are you?
Segura looks over tables of lettuce and herbs at the Old Cheney Road Farmer's Market in Lincoln, Nebraska. She's 31 and a single, stay-at-home mother of three. Two big shopping bags hang from one arm. The other supports her one-year-old son, Jeriel, riding in a sling on her chest. Segura is a SNAP recipient and a local food fanatic.
I love asparagus season, and it's probably about to be over. So, and I didn't get any last week because we were in a hurry, and we barely made it here. So,
Segura depends on around $500 each month from SNAP to help cover her food bills. As much as she can, she uses that money at the farmer's market. Today, she found cabbage and tomatillo to plant in the garden and bright green asparagus for a snack.
Yep. Is it four for the bunch? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
It used to be common for markets to take food stamps, but when paper stamps were replaced by plastic debit cards, not many markets invested in card readers. In recent years, though, there's been a rebound. In 2008, only 750 local farms and markets across the country accepted SNAP. Last year, it was more than 3,000. That means Segura can swipe her card and buy food that otherwise would be hard to afford.
I wouldn't want to just get crap food. Like, you know, for me and my kids, I realize we need to be eating healthy, and we try to do as organic as we can and local as we can.
Customers like Segura pushed SNAP spending at farms and markets to more than $16 million in 2012. But that's hardly a drop in the bucket when you consider government spending on SNAP reached $78 billion last year. It's doubled since the recession. The current debate in Congress is not whether to cut that number, but by how much. The Farm Bill in the Democrat-controlled Senate would trim an estimated $4 billion over 10 years. For many Republicans, like Senator James Inhofe of Oklahoma, that's not enough.
Why would they call this a Farm Bill if 80% of it is talking about the food stamp program? I can't think of anyone who could rationally say that this program of food stamps could justify being increased by 100% in a period of 4 years.
Meanwhile, a different version of the Farm Bill in the Republican-controlled House of Representatives would cut SNAP by $20 billion. Many Democrats, including Congressman Jim McGovern of Massachusetts, argue that's unnecessary because SNAP spending would fall on its own.
When the economy gets better and people go back to work, the numbers decline. And as this economy improves, the CBO says this, you'll see fewer and fewer people on SNAP.
Supporters also say SNAP spending is a form of economic stimulus. According to USDA, each dollar of SNAP produces $1.79 in economic activity. Most of that money does not go to farmers markets. The vast majority of SNAP dollars enter the economy through large supermarkets and superstores. Megan Jackson, manager of the market on Old Cheney Road, acknowledges a dollar may buy you more at the grocery store, but it's divided differently.
By the end, the farmer sees 19 cents of that dollar. Here, the farmer sees 99 cents of that dollar.
Jackson says small growers don't receive the same government support as commodity grain farmers. For them, SNAP is like an indirect subsidy.
This is one avenue where that support is direct.
And that's the beauty of being able to come to the market, because, you know, I know this person here and there, and you can come to the market and you can support everyone that you know that you want to support.
This summer, Congress will argue over how much food assistance the government can afford. In the meantime, April Segura, like a growing number of SNAP users, plans to spend as much as she can afford at the farmer's market. I'm Grant Gerlach, Harvest Public Media.
Over the past three decades, the number of U.S. farms operated by women has nearly tripled. Some of that increase comes from women taking a more prominent role in ag business, But a good chunk of it also stems from the U.S. Department of Agriculture asking more specific questions in its census of agriculture it takes every 5 years. The USDA's Economic Research Service released the most recent analysis of the 2007 data. I talked with USDA agricultural economist Bob Hoppe about the data. Let's go to the numbers right now first. I see from 82 to 2007, women-operated farms grew from, 120-something thousand to more than 300,000. Do we have any idea of why this has happened?
Well, one thing that's happened is that the USDA is working harder at finding small farms in the census. So part of this is just the, they're picking up more that might not have been there before. And then some of it is, more women are entering farming.
Another thing I found kind of interesting was that the Economic Research Service looked at the secondary operators, and that makes the amount of or the total of women involved in farming a lot bigger as well. What exactly defines or what is a secondary operator in the context of this?
When you answer the census questionnaire, you designate a principal operator who is most responsible for the day-to-day decisions of the farm, and then the other operators are secondary operators. So what happens a lot of times with married couples that are doing a farm, the family will designate the husband as the principal operator. So there's kind of a tendency in married couple operations for the husband to be designated as the principal operator. The way the women get undercounted is in the traditional way where you assume one operator per farm. The wife was dropped out just because they weren't counting secondary operators. Right. 61% of women operators are second operators on farms operated by men, and then there's another 5% are third operators.
So, looking at all this information with the census info, was there anything that was that stood out that was kind of surprising? Now that we had this information available.
One thing it did bring up is, something we always kind of suspected was that there was an awful lot of family involvement in farming. They are still largely family organizations or family businesses.
That was Bob Hoppe, an agricultural economist with the USDA. And that's all for Business Beat this week. I'm Christopher Husted. Thanks for listening.